Peace, everybody. It's the coolest legend there is. The cool, the DJ, the red alert. It's not all about me. It's all about the Hip Hop Digest. You understand? Hip Hop Digest. Make a note of it. 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 Make a note of it.
When are the poor people going to do something for themselves? I mean, what is going on in this? What? When are black people going to get sick and tired of always being on the bottom? After billions of dollars are poured into their neighborhoods, okay, so you make a mess of cities. You even got one now that's allegedly black, that's the president, and still got to do something for the poor people, you know. Poor people. Well, we got to be the way we were. Poor people, we got to do something for the poor people. People. People.
People. Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And it's E Color. What's up, brothers?
What's good? What's good?
We're happy back. Recording day.
Yes, sir.
Happy recording day, sir.
All right, that's what's good. So it's 2022. We said that last show, didn't we?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, we all fucked up now.
No doubt, but we're going to get it together, getting back into a regular rhythm anyway, trying to. But, you know, life happens.
Yes, so sir. Life does happen.
Got to take care of that
as you
first.
Get older.
Indeed. That's for damn sure. No doubt. So before we get into the show proper, swerving up here talking that NFL shit. Now, I did partake in the crack juice a little bit.
You sure did, boy. You jumped all the way in.
Not all the way in, but I did. But I
shit. Enough for Curtis to say, "Fuck it." This is a topic.
This is a topic because y'all niggas were starting to go in before the show. I was like, "Fuck that."
All right, so Swerve, it's your topic and shit. National Football League.
National Football League and their rules and regulations. As we discussed, it was a lot of good football this last weekend. And a couple of them ended, well, one in particular ended in a horrible way. And I am of the mindset where in the playoffs, you make it to that level, you deserve a chance to touch the ball. I ain't saying they got to go NCAA. Where they keep going back and forth, then score 2-point conversions or whatever the fuck. I ain't saying that. But what I am saying is if your team has earned the position to be in that game, a fucking coin toss, and your defense not fucking doing what they're supposed to do shouldn't lose you the opportunity for your offense to get out there and see if their defense is going to fail.
Playoffs. So, I'm an old fucking fogey.
We know.
Fuck that.
Short arms.
Damn.
Short arms alert.
Dinosaur. Ooh. Like a mofo. I thought the game ended the way it was supposed to end. Real talk, you know. This is the National Football League. You know, 13 seconds, Buffalo, stop them. Okay, break up one pass play.
Yeah, just one,
okay? Yeah. Now, to me, I know you don't really fuck with Mahomes, so that didn't help you ending how that game ended in a horrible way. Those are your words.
No, but it wasn't about him, though. That game wasn't about Mahomes.
Okay, that's right.
No, that game is not about any of the players. To me, that game is about the rules, because if it was about the players, then the players would have decided the game and not, well, the players did
the players
decide the
did.
Game.
They did.
But you're missing the first part of what I say. To position yourself to be in that game, you deserve the opportunity for an offensive attempt.
No, you don't.
you're one of them defense wins championship type niggas.
No,
right?
I'm one of them. Stop them.
Yes.
Point
but
blank.
What's that got to
look,
do with the offense?
Buffalo.
Wait. Time out. If the fucking score was 13-17, then yeah, it's like fuck it. Them defenses was fucking playing. but neither of them fucking defenses was playing because the score was 42-36. So don't punish this motherfucking offense that has been doing their job. Let them go against the other defense to say, stop them. And if they do, game the fuck over.
Well, we're not going to solve that on this show. To me,
no, clearly not.
The National Football League is going to ultimately play themselves because they're trying to appease butt sore fans whose team.
Damn, is that a little sideways joint? Because my butt don't hurt, bro.
Saying. No, I'm talking about any Buffalo fans that it shouldn't have ended that way. No, your defense breaks up sacks. They make plays. The game is over. They left. I don't give a fuck if it's 13 seconds, which it was. If it was 10 seconds, which it was, I don't give a fuck. To me, I don't hear anybody complaining about how fucking Kansas City fucking marched their ass all the way back, or even Tampa Bay, who was getting their ass cut, marched their ass all the way back.
Until they forgot Cooper Kupp.
Hey, but I'm just saying, and great for the Rams for that. Congratulations to the Rams. They should have never changed the rules. I'm all about sudden death. NFL, nigga.
Fogey.
Exactly.
Well, I would be willing to, even though I get what you're saying, I feel you, but I will be willing to bet that rule will change soon.
Oh, it will. The NFL's going to end up playing themselves.
Okay. Well, they played themselves when they did this one. Because it's not sudden death.
Okay. According to you. I agree. I agree with you.
But you're living with what it is, right?
I mean, there's nothing we can do about that.
And you're going to live with that collegiate style.
Oh, if the NFL do that collegiate shit.
That is really just playing yourself.
Exactly.
Because you're setting up yourself for a lot of fucking injuries. And it's the playoffs, my nigga. Would you want to lose your fucking quarterback in overtime, in the fourth fucking overtime of a game?
On some dumb shit.
When the shit should have been over?
Yeah.
Sudden death. I hear
now you have niggas
NFL,
talking about that. Fuck yeah, that. Overtime shit, nigga. It's one overtime and call it.
You talk about injuries. There's commercials. There's so much more money to be made. There's so many fans that are way past where
The NFL Players Union is worth any fucking thing, that should never happen.
I mentioned, it used to be sudden death.
And that's what it should go back to. It's over.
No, I'm not going to front. I like the way it is right now. This is good for me. This is perfect for me. And if you score a touchdown, the game's over. If you score a field goal, the other team gets a chance to touch it. Before, it used to be if the other team used to just score in overtime, it was over.
Right.
It didn't matter what it was.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding. Do your job.
That's the way it should be.
The Lehman Brothers Sports
Digest
part of the Hip Hop Digest show is now over.
Indeed, no doubt. So, all right, yo. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest proper is Chuck D, Public Enemy front man, will star in the forthcoming public television documentary, The Story of Hip Hop. And basically, it's a four-part story series. Again, another history thing. Chuck D's been in so many history documentaries about the history of hip-hop. But the BBC and public television, along with Chuck D, are getting together to do a four-part series beginning, I guess, in 73, maybe a little bit prior. But we all know the history of hip-hop. They're telling it again. I think the history is ultimately important. Because Chuck D, now look, Chuck D's a diplomat, you know. I don't know, and I'm sure they're not going to do a compare and contrast. Today's commercial rap world looks nothing like hip hop, in my opinion. Not that it should.
Yeah, that's not part of a documentary where hip hop is. It's not about the differences. It's about the start and what it went through to where it is now.
Indeed. I wish at some point somebody would document, and I think this is an underreported hip-hop history, would document the squeezing of hip hop out of hip hop, meaning as the majors come in. And that can start with guys who started out as reasonable players. That could start with a Russell Simmons. That could start with a Tom Silverman, who started out as reasonable players and had hip hop in them. But ultimately, it was ultimately about the spreadsheet anyway. And so they're going to squeeze the life out of everything that's really hip hop related. Indeed, I think that's an underreported story in the history of hip hop. Majors, even to the point of hood niggas and gangsters who infiltrated the Suge Knights of the world, you know what I'm saying? The Supremes of the world, whoever, you know what I'm saying? I think that's an underreported story. I think that helps squeeze the life out of hip hop, you know.
But if niggas is gone, if niggas do their history and start to, and they go back in the game and start talking about it, it's been niggas involved from the beginning. That was on that type of level shit. Because Eric B. wasn't no motherfucking angel, my nigga.
No, he was not. No, he was not. And largely to look at his role in Eric B. and Rakim was pretty much a poser. I mean, that is accurate to this day. As much as we may love to listen to, you know what I'm saying, lyrics of Fury, but he didn't really contribute that shit like that. You know what I mean? So, no doubt. You're right. Indeed. And that goes, but that's the gangster part.
Right.
That I say, you know. So.
Yeah.
Indeed. No doubt. All right. This is some unfortunate news. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. Pete Rock set to sue Nas over Illmatic royalties. Pete Rock and his attorney claimed that the Queens rapper, Nasir Jones, signed a contract, which Pete says he has in his hand, that the producer himself get a cut of the proceeds from the classic track, The World Is Yours. And, of course, we know Pete Rock is on the hook, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. As we're told, Pete Rock and his lawyers have repeatedly demanded that Nas honor the alleged deal, but to no avail. Pete Rock, as the writing of this article says, that he made a New Year's resolution that he's going to get paid from his work on Illmatic. Pete Rock actually has writing credits on the tune.
Did I hear you say there was paperwork though?
Pete Rock says he has paperwork in hand.
Okay, then yeah, that needs to be produced.
Yeah, it would have been good to at least see the paperwork of some sort. I'm not saying that Pete Rock is jeffing. I'm just saying that, you know, you got to get the paperwork out there.
Yeah.
And two, I don't think it's just Nas.
Oh, no. That's early Nas.
Yeah, that's early Nas.
That's
so
that's when he was getting jerked.
Yeah, that's Columbia Records. I'm going to take a page out of Jay-Z book. That's Search Like Publishing. I haven't heard MC
Get
Search name.
Face?
Yes. You know what I'm saying? Black Boys, Jimmy's, and White Boys, Cactus. You know what I mean? I haven't heard those names.
Shut the fuck up.
Right. I haven't heard any of those things. So there's a lot of things to unfurl here. Now, simply, Nas is now the veteran rapper toast of the town.
Multi-millionaire.
It's like magic.
So Nas is the toast of the town. And he could simply write we're probably talking about a simple check here that Nas could write and clear it up. But I'm thinking Nas is like saying, nah, I'm not doing and I'm not paying shit because, like you said, Columbia Records' first album, he was probably getting jerked.
Not probably.
Guarantee it?
Yeah,
guarantee.
You can count on that.
So Nas is not writing a check. And that's where, again, word of journalism, it doesn't even take a lot of work to make reasonable deduction to be like, okay, Nas is probably getting jerked on his first album. Pete Rock, and I know the headline, Pete Rock sues Nas, is the headline, but it's really Pete Rock, right, it's really Pete Rock suing Columbia Records or Columbia Sony or whoever owns the rights to that.
Searchlight,
you know, anybody who was on that chicken feed, you know, line, you know what I mean? Eating off Nas. All those guys should be sued. Now, that's a lot more lawsuit.
And that's why he ain't got no money yet. Because there's a lot of niggas involved. And the little paperwork that he got ain't enough to make them niggas sneeze.
So
is it a good look or a bad look?
Well, I mean, it's a good look. I think it's a good look, but I think, and this isn't even on Pete Rock, but this is on the guy who writes the article to give more depth of the article. Maybe today that's what it is. Maybe it is all clickbait. And as I'm reading this stuff and I'm taking it down, and I'm like, damn, yo, there's more to this story than one guy suing another. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I bet Nas ain't really even get paid off of that. I hear Primo on multiple albums talk about he never got paid. Mm. I mean, I to this day, I believe Primo is saying I never got paid from KRS-One on Return of the Boom Bap, which is incredible the amount of work Primo put in.
Well, he's starting with a big fish, so everybody better get in line.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of niggas on there. Plus, the label already knows, along with Nas and everybody else that's in line to get sued. No, as soon as they settle with this nigga, everybody else on that album's coming.
Yes, yes. Large Professor, Preem, Q-Tip. Yeah, I mean,
L.E.S.
Yeah, yes, sir.
But they may have been already paid or okay with their contract. Never know.
I don't know. I bet the only one who probably got paid is probably either Large Professor or Q-Tip, and then probably just a work for hire check. Maybe whatever they was charging, five, maybe 10 grand, maybe. Maybe. So.
Anyway.
All right. That's what's up. Yeah, all right. That's your legal beagle. All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is the Prince estate valued at $163.5 million. And that appraisal is double an earlier appraiser when somebody came in and was like, it was probably only worth $80 million, which was super low.
Of course. He was trying to get it.
Yeah, of course. Everybody's now, you know, everybody's talking about the amazing numbers. Bruce Springsteen, $500 million. You know what I'm saying? Like David Bowie, I don't know, $400 million. Bob Dylan, $250 million. You know what I mean? All these people are getting, and every time I bring this topic up, I fail. And I'm just like the guy. It would have took me 2 seconds to find out what the RZA got for the bulk of that Wu-Tang Clan when all is selling your entitled rights to get out. I want to say he got $30 million, but I could be off. But whatever it was, it is letting you know, and it's really setting up the next topic, old music, or I should say the original music versus the newer music. Okay. Prince's estate, ultimately at the end of the day, if it sells, will probably $250 easy.
That's not including masters, is it?
I don't see.
This including masters, I don't, my nigga. Now, no fucking way.
I don't know if that includes Vault. That may include the masters if Prince's estate ultimately gets $250. Does that include unreleased Vault? Because if you listen to Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis talk about the unreleased Vault.
Man, wow. The unreleased Vault. These niggas is getting paid for shit they already got out there. That's the niggas done heard a million times already. They're getting paid big checks.
No, I get it. I get
yes,
it.
Yes, but that unreleased Vault, though.
That too. But I'm saying that Prince, if anything less than $700 million for Prince's whole entire fucking vault, it's ridiculous.
He's not getting that much.
No, but I'm just saying, if a nigga is getting $500 million, Bruce Springsteen shit ain't got nothing on Prince's shit.
I agree with that. I'm agreeing with that from a musicality standpoint. But, you know, the Bruce Springsteens and the David Bowies got a sort of je ne sais quoi that Prince don't got.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Prince got that.
I know what you're saying.
Prince got that. But the thing is, Prince ain't allowed to be the one to sell it. That's the fucked up part. That's what where it's going. He's going to get lowballed.
Because
Prince know he got it.
I think the people who are running Prince Estate, they should be astute enough to understand that he should get. I say it's going to be valued at around $250 without unreleased masters. No, you get the masters for $250. They getting the masters, but are they getting unreleased vault? That's
fuck
the key,
that, nigga. I'm saying fuck that.
Now, if you want to tack on money for unreleased vault material, then that's when you want to start getting into the Bruce Springsteen guac. Then that's different.
That's not that shit. Don't move nobody. That unreleased vault shit because it was unreleased. They want to hear the shit that these niggas that's buying shit from people, buying all this shit. They're buying shit that's. They can put on commercials. They can put on whatever. That unreleased vault shit, they put that on a commercial. Nigga, like, what is that? It sounds like Prince, but I don't know that song. Nigga, you put Purple Rain on a fucking commercial. God damn. Mm. Everybody know what the fuck that is.
Purple Tide pellets.
So this nigga, I'm telling you, anything less than $700 million for this nigga's fucking whole shit is ridiculous.
The only person who would get that type of money, $700 million, and I don't think anybody would get $700 million. There's only one person who I think would get $700 million. Or more, I wouldn't say $700 million, but more than the current lead guy, which is Bruce Springsteen at $500 million, and that would be Jack Michael.
And Michael's fucking shit ain't got shit on Prince. He may be more popular. He may be more popular, but his catalog ain't got shit on Prince's catalog.
I see, but you talk about from a musicality standpoint. You're double talking your own point. Jackson makes his. I'm gonna tell you something. The year after his death, once the executors came in and they really didn't, and they cleared out his debt, I think the year after his debt, he probably made $400 to $500 million a year after Jackson's debt.
Anything less than $500 for Jacko is ridiculous.
Oh, that's what I mean.
But I'm saying anything less than $700 is ridiculous because his catalog is crazy.
Prince ain't getting $700. Prince, he's getting $250.
And that's so far apart.
That is ridiculously far apart.
Yeah, but Kurt G's talking about musicality from his heart. See, that he's in my position. That's the shit I usually be talking about. I'm talking about sobering numbers. I'm talking about who sells more Coke and Tide and laundry detergent and all kinds of shit. Michael Jackson Records sells more of that shit than Prince's does.
I'll give you that.
There are certain Prince songs.
Prince is popular than a motherfucker.
Like, I was a Michael Jackson fan over Prince, but there are Prince songs that would wipe Michael Jackson out, yo.
But those Prince songs.
Little Red Corvette.
But look, if you're selling Corvettes, yes.
Well, or just on any commercial, any fucking. They play like a rock on Ford commercials.
I of course they do.
They play certain music and certain stuff, but you don't have to necessarily be selling Corvettes. Yes, it helps, but you could use that song for almost anything, you Jackson, know, the nostalgia.
Jackson Records sells more product than Prince's records. Prince's records are great. This ain't even a diss on Prince. What I'm saying is when you want to pull out Michael Jackson records to sell a product, whether it be from laundry to detergent to hamburgers, Jackson gets it done better than Prince.
Well, Prince is still going to get more than $250. I don't know if he's going to get $700, Kurt, but he's going to get more than
$250. It's interesting because I don't see Springsteen selling shit on his catalog. To me, Springsteen is cool, but fuck, he was signed in like 72. It took him till
the USA.
And that was 84, my nigga.
And if they play it right now, it would do exactly what they wanted to do.
Yes, it would. That's all they need is that one song.
So it's funny. We're sitting here bantering about two of the most successful artists, and we're talking about a consistency throughout their career. Of course, everybody has lulls, but Springsteen, who went more than 10 joints, you know, I mean, Born to Run did blow in the 70s, but other than that, yo, he went like 10 joints without no real hard body hits until Born in the USA.
And guess what? The only thing they're going to play is Born in the USA on those
$500 million
and make all their money back off that one fucking joint. They're going to paper cut niggas.
Let me tell you something, man. This is such a fascinating topic to me on how old rockers and a few R&B cats is getting paid. Not that many, though, because I fail, and this is my fault, Hip Hop Digest family. I have failed, and that's going to be my mission to get the African-American numbers. Okay, because James Brown got 90 million, right?
That little bit.
Yeah, okay. That's sad. JB got 90 million. That's sad. But I'm saying, I'm going to start at like rap guys because we know RZA and Timberland and them done sold the entire catalog. I can almost guarantee both of them niggas got less than 40 million. Ooh. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. All right.
What does Beyonce get?
What did Jay say? We gonna overcharge because of what they did to the Fat Boys?
To the Cold Crush.
Or what they did to the Cold Crush?
Your answer. Yeah.
B gets 500 to start. She's starting at 500 to say, all right, anything less, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotta say, Wifey probably does start at about five bills.
500 niggas, give me half a Billy, or I'm out of here.
Jay ain't even checking his messages for less than 500.
Like, can you believe these motherfuckers off at 450? Fuck that.
Right.
He like, don't even fall with me. No emails or text messages. It ain't with this number I told you.
Shit, motherfucker, around you have Hove up in the motherfucking spot talking about I'm going to write the check for myself.
Exactly.
You just cash it.
I buy my own shit.
I run shit here. Y'all niggas just live here.
Oh, man. Now, if there's a bar deodorant to be sold, I want in.
No doubt. All right, well, you know what? Here we go. Right into the next topic. Old music is killing new music. All right? And that was set up on purpose. It was a very long article in The Atlantic that Swerve sent me today. I skimmed it. But it basically says old songs now represent 70% of the U.S. music market. Even worse, the new music market is actually shrinking. The guy who wrote the article said he had an experience at a local diner where the staff he was at a sort of a lunch thing, all of the staff was under 30, okay? But every song that was being played on the diner radio was made by people from a previous decade. I mean, not previous decade, like several decades, okay? The songs were over 40 years old, so the gentleman stopped the server and said, well, why are you playing these old records, you know, on the Muzak? And the server said, well, we like those records. Okay. Mm. It also goes on to say the 200 most popular tracks that regularly account for, now this is the most popular 200 streaming tracks. They account for less than 5% of the total streams. Okay. Mm. It was twice as high just 3 years ago. He said the mix of songs that actually are purchased by consumers and even streamed tend to gear toward older music. Okay?
They want that old thing back.
Yeah, and it basically says it doesn't matter. Spotify, iTunes, you know, Deezer, Jay and Hov and them shit they got, all that shit, Tidal. It's all the old, like, rockers, you know, all the names we name, you know, Dylan, the Police, basically a lot of old rockers, all the old music. Now, I believe the article is very long, and they say a lot of things that I think are faddish. Like, right now, one of the key things they say, the reason why older music is really blowing up is because of the blowing up of vinyl. Vinyl is huge. Vinyl is selling way more than CDs, and as a physical means, I think that's a bubble.
Yeah, that's bull.
I think that's a bubble. I think those of us who really love vinyl, you know, with a couple of pieces that I buy each year, I'm kind of, I buy more already printed music, older 12 inches. I buy those things pretty regularly. But as far as I think the vinyl, but I think it's a fad. I can't wait for the fad to be over so we can get back to regular vinyl pricing. I think that's that's just me. I think
it's been a couple of years, yo.
Yeah, you know, but I still think it's a bubble. I think I don't see millennials loving vinyl. I don't see them having a 50-year love affair with that format. I have a 50-year love affair with the format. You know what I'm saying? That's my wife.
It just might, though, because they see it as something of theirs in this time.
I think they see it as an investment, though. I don't think they see it as... you got cats who buying vinyl, and this is the vinyl part of the story. You got cats who buying vinyl not even opening the vinyl. Mm. They just buying it. Oh, this is going to be an investment. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of the records that I have bought, I was looking at Big L's catalog and what Discogs is going for. And the average fucking Big L record, and I'm talking about shit like Ebonics and shit like that, is like 30 bills. And I got all that shit. And I'm thinking to myself, damn. You motherfuckers, you want to give me... Look, okay.
You fucking millennial.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But in any case, but I think that's a bubble that may burst, and I'm good with that. They also, I think the Lehman's commented on the fact that... Oh, look at the numbers we're talking about. In the media right now, we're talking about people who are bellying up and are going to sell their entire catalog for... let's just say, fuck it, even if you're getting $50 million for your catalog, that's good money.
That is very good money.
That's good money.
That's very, very, very good money.
That's good money. I'm not
going to front on the money. Like Nick said, baseball's been very, very good to me.
Yeah, you ain't got to come out here to Hollywood Hills with that.
Music,
get yourself something real good in Tennessee.
Very, very good to a lot of these niggas. They're going to eat good off of it. But I know ultimately that all these niggas is getting jerked. Because the people that buying this shit are going to just paper cut niggas to death.
Well, it's not,
and get all their money back. Probably like fucking 10 times the money they
spent. I don't want you to go down that road just yet. I don't want you to go down that road just yet. Because what I want to get to is the title of the topic, old music is killing new music. And so he goes into another part of the article where he talks about the one of the most unfortunate things about today's music industry is the lack of development of good artists that can last decades. And that is it. I don't know about country. I don't know about some of the other genres, but I know in hip hop, it is a replace and it is a temporary cap that gets resealed. No, what do you call that shit they used to sell back in the 70s? Retreads.
Retreads, yeah.
That's commercial rap. Okay. Mm. So now, we talked about your boy Lil Baby a couple of shows in a row, a little bit of trouble he was in. Real talk, it wouldn't have mattered if Lil Baby would have lost his career. It wouldn't have mattered because they got four or five retreads right there.
Yep.
Put the retread on that bitch and keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care if you got the young niggas, this young nigga Gunna and all these niggas, fuck them, I'm better than Jay-Z and all that shit talking. Yo, you young guy, you making a lot of money now. I hope you're investing your money wisely. I hope you're doing the right thing for your family. But nigga, you're a retread.
I would ask him how.
And you can be replaced. And you can be replaced so easily. Ask the guys who 3 years ago was the shit, okay? Ask the designer how that shit going right now.
But you also know what, though, B, what you said about the ultimate topic is old music killing young or whatever that, you know, paraphrase was. That's not hard to see because just like you just said, everybody can be replaced because everybody's doing the same fucking thing.
Right.
But when you have older music, everybody was finding their lane, doing what they do, and fans loved it.
Well, that goes back to the next part of the article where he said that the article, he was like, well, and it was a two-part article. He was like, musical acumen, okay, maybe Michael Jackson himself didn't play the guitar and didn't do whatever, but there were people there who could bring the best out of Jackson. Quincy Jones, and before that, there were people at Motown who bring the best out of Jackson. And then, of course, you had geniuses, Ray Charles and Prince and the like, and the fact that, and I'm not blaming Trap only in as an example of a musical, and that's just regular white pop too, who use the same production techniques as any of these trap niggas. So it ain't just trap, but I'm just saying, nigga, people make music from loops. That's how you start the music making process, from loops. Good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. Now, look, as true hip hop niggas, we invented that. Didn't we, G?
Yes, we did.
Didn't we invent that, though?
Yes, we did.
If we want to be totally honest with you, you know what I mean? We invented that.
That's our shit.
You know what I mean? So, but now it's at a point where, what do you do about that? I think that the music, and this is my personal opinion, I think that music, I'm thinking in the last 25 years, strong, even through today, the music is not relatable to a previous generation, and it's not relatable to the future generation. It is stuck in the time that it is right now. Of course, I believe that, but I only believe that to say that, and we've said this ad nauseum on this show, and I'll say it again. The Mary J. Blige Method Man commercial with the dad downstairs, I think it was selling coke, listening to All I Need, the original, and his son listening to the Mary J. and Meth version upstairs, is a connection. Now, the dad don't know Meth's bars. Ain't trying to learn Meth's bars, but I know that melody.
Yeah.
I know that melody, and there's countless of records like that. So this is just me. I believe that you take records by Mr. Gunna or Mr. any of these Lils or whoever these guys are. They're making great money, and I'm happy for these young guys for that. But does that translate going forward? Because it damn sure don't translate going backwards. I, as the granddad, don't give a fuck about Mr. Gunner's music.
B, let me just say,
I'm not giving a fuck about Mr. Gunner's music, because Mr. Gunner's music has zero reference, unlike the granddad who the All I Need sample. There's a reference there.
B, let me give you an analogy.
All right, I'm out.
The Jerry Curl and the S Curl, they was the shit during their time, wasn't they?
I don't know where you're going with it, but go ahead.
They was the shit during their time.
Yes, sir.
You acknowledge.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, and then when they faded away, nobody cared anymore, right?
Okay.
It's the same thing with this stuff you're talking about. Jerry Curl and them got a lot of money. Some of these young Lils are getting a lot of money, and we ain't never hating on that. But they are sacrificing timeless art and critical acclaim for right now money. And they're going to be gone, B. The rap road is strewn with rappers that used to be hot.
Well, okay, so I like to hear Kirk G's point on that, because I think that he had a specific point about, is the music relatable to... I think the litmus test has already failed, because I don't think the music right now is relatable to even 10 years prior, or even going to be relatable 10 years forward. Fuck, you know what I'm saying? If you're making music in the mid-60s and you sign to Motown, And they playing your joint or whatever, it's like, fuck, you still getting a lot of mileage. I got a box set greatest 64 Motown original hits. I play that whole fucking box set, and it's going to be relatable either through loops or samples or just plain ass hit records. And it, shit is from the 60s, my nigga. 60s, early 70s. But G, go ahead. I'm sorry. I know you got an important point that you might tighten this up.
Well, I was agreeing with you. You was preaching. When I put up my finger up, I was just raising my hand like the preacher is preaching right now. He's telling niggas what it's really like and what's really going on with this shit. And the music, I get what you were saying, Irv, about it. Niggas is strewn far way back with this niggas that used to be the shit and all that. But it's this shit here that he's talking about, not relatable to what was happening previous. Like, we grew up in a generation where there we came before rock, before hip hop was the shit. We came up in a generation listening to shit from the late 60s, 70s, 80s. We grew up in all of that shit before hip hop really popped. Mm-hmm. So we listened to that music and we loved it. Yeah. And even though we started liking hip hop more than that shit that we used to love, we still loved that shit.
And respected it.
And we still respected it.
But hip hop was based off that shit.
But hip hop, there you go. Hip hop was based off of the music that we loved.
Right.
And coming up, our parents was like, fuck that shit. Because yeah, they were rapping on it. And they, I mean, so I guess we are our parents at this point.
No, we're not.
I mean, as far as not liking the music, as far as what we were doing to it. Now, like we, God rest his soul, M2 May, fuck that rap shit. You know what I'm saying? These niggas taking my shit, fuck that rap shit. But the shit wasn't relatable to him until he got a check, but still, it wasn't relatable. You know what I mean?
But B, the only thing, it's not relatable. It's not relatable because, as you simply said, we loved that shit from the 60s, 70s, 80s.
Right.
These cats now, they totally disrespect anything before now. So it doesn't even, it's a whole, it's apples and oranges because they don't respect. And they don't use. Ain't nobody grabbing I&I and flipping that shit into some new trap shit.
No, they're not. But they are flipping a lot of shit from the 90s. They are flipping a lot of music from the 90s. I will give them, 90s. I will say that.
Well, that's a new phenomenon.
They are flipping a lot of that shit.
That is new. That is new.
And a lot of it ain't hip hop now. I ain't gonna front on that. A lot of that, they're flipping a lot of that R&B from the 90s.
But then that's still my point.
They flipping that
that's
shit.
That's fine. But they're not fucking with our music.
The point is that I'm using rap as a litmus test music in this case, but it is the same and probably even more prominent with white pop. Because I don't understand, and this has got, it ain't got really nothing to do with the fact that Entity bought, you know, Bob Dylan shit for $400 million or whatever he got paid. It has nothing to do with anything. How the fuck is them niggas still fucking, they're bigger than they ever been.
They made timeless music.
And there's got to be a key to that. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be a key. That's what I'm saying. Even if you're looking at like R&B or even if you're looking at African-American music, and I'm talking about guys who ain't even selling their music. You can't. I mean, if you want to pull out Motown joints or you want to pull out Gap Band's greatest hits or Tina Marie or any of this shit, all of that shit has a timeless quality that was big in its day and is big when we were coming up and big now, you know, to a certain extent. I mean, I get it. The young guys are getting money and I'm not, and they're very popular. But gee, I'm asking you, does their music, does NBA Youngboy's music, does this 03 Guido nigga, does this music really stand the test of time 15 years from now?
I say no. For me personally,
I mean, we can't predict.
We can't predict because we don't know what the radio station is going to sound like when they start playing.
Oh, this ain't even got nothing to do with
the radio. As far as what it, I mean,
but
this is what I'm. Let me get my point in. I'm saying we don't know what the radio stations or whatever fucking format's going to be playing shit when they go back and step back and start playing oldies. Are they going to be playing some of that shit that we're talking about that ain't relatable to us? Are they going to be playing that shit? I mean, right now that. The story is hell to the no, because even when you listen to the radio now and they start playing old school cuts, and every time they start playing old school cuts, it's always from the 80s, from the 90s, old school R&B from the 80s, from the 90s, hip-hop, late 80s, all 90s. So nobody's actually starts playing none of this shit from the 2000, late 2000, to right now. They ain't playing none of that shit. So I have to say the answer is no. They shit ain't nowhere near relatable and ain't nobody gonna play they shit because they're still, to the article's point, stuck on old music and gonna keep playing the old music because it keeps getting them over.
Well, and the last part of the article is basically about a tone of the music. and is that how tonality in music, it's hard to get into, let's say, playing, let's say if you wanted to play the new shit, right?
Right.
But the tonality of the music is so, doesn't have any tonality to it, okay? And so when you're playing music, you know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck if you playing the motherfucking Beach Boys and shit. You know what I mean? It's each record from the Beach Boys to Marvin Gaye is going to have a different sound signature and tonality. All this trap shit is so fucking similar because it's all made from the, pretty much the same musical equipment.
Time out.
My man.
Time out. I would, because you and I experienced the phenomena, I would have to bring it to your attention.
And I'm ready.
As we sat in the USA Arena, where was it when we sat in there?
It was actually, I'm trying to think what it was, the
Capitol Center at the Runs House Tour. Yes, and we were sitting there in Washington, D.C. We weren't in Washington, D.C., but we were in the DMV. And as we sat there waiting to hear Public Enemy, Jazzy Jeff,
Eric B. and Rob.
As we waited to hear all that, what did we hear? We heard Go-Go,
yes,
didn't we?
Yes, sir.
And as we sat there for like 47 minutes listening to what you and I thought was one song, fucking people felt like they had to tell us, that girl told us, oh, nah, that was like seven joints. So let me bring you to 2022. To us, as we sit here, that trap shit may sound like one 47-minute fucking song, but to them that love that shit, they know the difference, yo.
I agree with that, and I would say if this was strictly the difference between what we were uneducated go-go ears at the time, mm-hmm, versus now, they're using too many different genres of music to bring the point home. Again, like I said, I was using trap as an example, but white pop used the same production techniques.
True. That's true.
As trap. So and that's what he breaks down. He's breaking down country. He's breaking down white pop. Well, he's not calling it white pop, but he's breaking down pop. He's breaking down, you know, hip hop. They're all falling under that same umbrella and getting hammered by not just 80s. I'm talking about Clarence Clearwater Revival, my nigga. All that shit is just fucking getting, yo, you know
way
what I mean?
Way back 70s.
Yo, you know what I mean? Where it's born. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying Elton John and all them from the 70s. You know what I mean? Their music is dominating right now. And they're dominating over a specific subset of current music. You know what I mean? I'm not saying
timeless.
Look, I'm not saying that ain't nobody going to want to hear no Nelly joints or Sir Mix-a-Lot joints or whatever.
Yeah, well, they won't.
I think they will, because even
you're gonna be, you're even gonna be those guys years old wanting to hear baby, oh, at 72 years old?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that even those guys, even the guys we clown, even a hammer in them, are going to have more playability. Even those guys are going to have more playability than the current music, because the current music has zero tonality.
I.B.
As far as
I love you. I love you. But I gotta ask you.
My man.
When the last time you heard a Hammer song on the radio, TV, anything?
I don't listen to
anything.
Okay, so
somebody driving by with fucking Hammer playing.
So here I am.
You know what, let me save you just a little bit. To his point, Hammer has more playability than the shit that's happening right now. Because it had a different feel to it.
It was Rick James. Exactly.
Yeah, that Rick James.
That's what I keep trying to tell you, son. I'm trying to tell you that even the people,
Hammer.
It's not doing revisionist history. I'm not trying to set up revisionist history here. What I'm trying to tell you is that even people we didn't like, okay, mm-hmm, if they're sampling, whether if it be Rick James or whatever, are going to give them more playability, then I'm just saying the type of people, the little youngins and the little whoever's,
yeah,
and all these young trap niggas, just in the same way as white pop. There's a strewn of white pops who produce the same way. Man, Mark Ronson and them niggas is making the same fucking record every time out, my nigga.
Another one.
How many times these niggas gonna make the same record?
As long until they
stop paying
money.
Oh, they pay, and they just like Barney in the basement printing money and shit.
Oh, motherfuck that playing. They paying. We
yeah,
staying.
Exactly.
There you go.
So no doubt. All right, let's get in. Next time we're gonna hip hop digest. Speaking of young boys, and this is just a quick blurb and shit. You know what I mean? As I continue to assault the young boys. You know what I mean? In this particular episode, Wiz Khalifa shares a warning about the new young boy trend, which is really an old trend.
Wow.
He done got old.
Yeah,
yo.
Exactly. Even Wiz Khalifa.
His Cadillac is way. He done got old.
You know what I mean? Exactly. You know what I mean?
That black and yellow is fading.
Nigga, ooh, make a hit, then, nigga. All right, so here we go. Even Wiz Khalifa. So apparently, speaking of NBA young boy and Lil Durk, okay, they got this thing called the Money Challenge where they're basically taking a portion of their money and spreading it out on the floor or the steps with messages and shit like niggas gonna die and somebody was like, hurry up, punk ass up or something like that. So it's the latest young boy trend, but Wiz Khalifa is saying that shit is already played because he point out that at least... And I got to think, whenever this was 6, 7, 8 years ago, 50 Cent and Soulja Boy started that shit by spelling shit out with money.
Broke, not broke.
Yeah, now you got a whole slew of niggas, you know, niggas like Academics, Dumb Niggas, and all the Lils and Youngs are involved. You better know that. They're all, you know, laying in front of money, spelling out certain cryptic messages or whatever to their enemies and or friends. I don't get it, me personally, but I'm not young. And I guess maybe if I was a young guy like that and somebody handed me a shoebox full of money, I might spell out, you know, 401k.
So here's a sobering moment for you.
All right.
Do they not realize that rappers' homes are being invaded and rappers are being killed?
A, B,
they realize
C,
it, but it's
yeah,
not
for showing
to me,
shit
nigga,
like that. Yeah, online.
That's not gonna happen to me,
yeah,
nigga.
Yeah,
I keep the stick in the box, my nigga. And then in case
I'm
you
sure
run up
the
in
other
here,
ones
I'm gonna get the stick out the box.
Felt that as well.
Mm. Yes, and that is a, and that and you're right. And you know what? And that is a point where I figure, yeah, you're right. When you are handling the bag in public, if you will,
post this shit on IG. Wow. You're fucking Calabasas,
and oh, niggas, and true there, and I'll tell you, and a lot of these kids who are still on a COVID, nobody gives a fuck about COVID anymore, so they're back on the concert tour and they're playing small clubs with a lot of wolves in the audience. So be careful out there. Be careful.
They're not.
They're not, because it can't happen to them.
Go ahead and put them $100 bills all over the floor.
Man, why don't niggas show deeds to property?
That ain't cool, my nigga.
I'll be holding up a deed to like 50 acres. Shit.
Oh, I own this strip mall, nigga.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean? I said that before. I was like, damn, yo, when is somebody like Ross and them going to make that shit cool? Property
deed. Selling thighs, yo. You know can't say Ross.
He's selling chicken thighs, my nigga.
Yeah, you can't mention Ross. This nigga in a commercial with a trunk full of thighs and a Maybach. Get out of here, Ross.
So, next time we're going to hit Bob Dodgers.
Oh, shit.
So, So next time I hear about Don Chess, is as foul.
This nigga tried.
Damn, as foul.
Nice, nigga.
Oh, wow. Shit. Damn. Hey, boy. Hey. Hold up. Did he play himself? Did he play himself like Mary J did his shit? What's up with that chicken?
Well, the price of wings is out of control, though, my nigga.
Yeah, I know, right?
It is crazy.
It's kind of funny.
But, yeah. This nigga say fuck that shit.
Yo. And the thing about it, yo, the history of chicken wings, it was slave food. That was not the best cut of meat.
It's still not. They're just overcharging for it.
Hey.
Right? So let me ask you a question. Did Ross play himself like Mary J. Blige or Hammer hustling
he
chicken?
Himself, nigga,
did he hustling chicken?
Drunk? Come on, yo. First of all, yo, I don't give a fuck because I like chicken and watermelon. But I'm not going to be in a motherfucking commercial.
All my people eating chicken and watermelon. Chicken. Talk broken English and drug selling. Okay. Let me get to the next topic here.
Yeah. He didn't play himself on the chicken. He played himself on the dice.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna defend Ross and shit right now. All right, I'm gonna defend Ross. Ross, like, fuck that. Colonel Sanders can do it, my nigga. I got this.
Oh shit.
All right. So let me get to the next topic. Okay, I'm sure you know people would be like, damn, yo, killer, you still fucking gunning the Lils and the Youngs and the Young Boys and shit or whatever. Not necessarily. I'm gonna big up this guy from below the Mason-Dixon line, which I'm eagerly awaiting.
Not your man's.
Big Crit.
Okay, that guy.
Announces a forthcoming album. The name of the album is called Digital Roses Don't Die. It's set to drop February the 18th. Crit recently dropped the first single from the album called So Cool. And what I want you to do when you all go listen to Big Crit's new single, So Cool, is listen to the musicality and lack of trap stylings, if you will, on the new single. I don't know what the rest of the album sounds like. I'm trying to tell you. I just want you to notice the musicality of the record, okay? I think it's a great record. I think something, especially that old head niggas can rock, you know what I mean? Young boys might have their face frowned up and shit. I don't know. Don't look like he talking that block shit. But I'm just saying, Big Crit. I eagerly, always and eagerly await Crit Records. I'm a fan. He gets a Hip Hop Digest seal of approval, okay? Yeah. And that's all I got.
Looking forward to that.
All right. So we ready for Kurt G's World Famous?
He's ready.
Yeah, let's get this done.
Kurt G's World Famous albums of the week.
All right. This week we got Jamal Gasol, More True Stories Side A. That's Jamal Gasol, More True Stories Side A. Then we got the Far Eye Hard 7. That's the Far Eye Hard 7.
Wow, the Far Eye, huh? It's been a minute.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
So, what are we doing? So,
is there another fishbowl? Cause somebody went down the bowl tonight.
We had a cat, but the cat. Life got in the way.
Yes.
Life got in the way
for him. He had to work.
Exactly. All right. So we're ready for the new fishbowl challenge. Here we go on a Hip Hop Digest. The next contestant on Hip Hop Digest is, as I unfurl. You know, I don't like this fishbowl shit. And I'm going with it. I'm support the show here. All right, damn, it was just all origami'd up and shit.
Damn.
Oh, okay. Here we go. D Thor, you're the next contestant on the Hip Hop Digest.
I know this nigga's not going to miss.
King Black.
I know he's not going to miss.
You rather have D Thor on your team than on the other team.
Yes, sir.
Indeed, no doubt. So, D Thor, you know what time it is. Next week on the Hip Hop Digest.
Yes. Let me go ahead and give all the information so that way niggas
know. Here we go.
Tuesday, next Tuesday night. If not, we will let you know that we're not recording. But next Tuesday night, we will be recording. We will let you know exactly what time we're hitting. So that way, it'd be, look in your DM. I'm going to go ahead and hit you. Either me or Mr. Swervin will hit you in your DM and let you know what time we're recording Tuesday night. What you need to have is a Skype account. It's very free. You can get one of those. So that way, you can hook up with us and we'll be able to get on here.
All right. So Skype, old school, dinosaur style, not that new shit. All right.
Hey,
Skype. Hey. It still works. So no doubt. So anyway, yes. Okay, we're back in the saddle again. So I guess we're going to do it when we do it.
Yes, sir.
And we'll,
that's what we do.
All right. We'll see you then. Peace.
One. Peace.
Royal emblem on the breastplate, chest move, checkmate. We set great, invest jewels, make sure the wolves ate. Peace to the guards, traveling harmony, fool for thought, marvelous bars, give them that card.
This is a royal flush, ace, king, queen, and a jack. Oral tragedy, I'm drilling in your cavity cap. When the jokes ain't respected, the ammo is tested. Headshots blessed it when chest is vested. Infected with bubonic bars like bacteria. West African troop roots in Nigeria. Slap simple rappers, I'm colder than Siberia. Black fist cracking these crackers' criteria. It's the seventh from that Crown Heist empire. Setting up landmines around you and then fire. Death promises is never a threat. Bring the drama, that's a trauma that you'll never forget. Celebrating demise of enemies I despise. Then compel the crowd with energy I derive. To shut shit down, shook spit rounds. How you gonna get up if that's how you get down?
Royal emblem on the breastplate, chest move, checkmate. We set place, invest jewels, make sure the wolves ate. Rap pugilist, Apollo Creed, deep Socrates, street scholars that speak prophecies. Peace to the gods, travel in harmony, food for thought, marvelous bars, give them that guard degree. Rhyme syndicate, documented, the G-code, divine penmanship, designed with that militant ethos.
Spit with a passion to surpass the average rapper, designed to ride 2-5 to the hereafter. Oregon, spit hard, you know the style mastered, more or less though, the best golden era retro. Rep that to the death or I decide to let go, never. My lines cause mass hysteria. Arrest the president, mafia, rebel to America. Black Farragamo, rap slants for Tardo. Billing this Queens regime squad wherever I go. Thoroughbreds plan ahead, stacking for tomorrow. Life was hard, now I carry cars by Wells Fargo. Hip hop's messiah, wise mind like Elijah. Cameras everywhere, the streets are NY's on fire. That's why I spit sick lyricism, more illicit. Write it and live it, most vivid, stay on my pivot. Fuck a bag, stack wealth like weed and acidics. Cinematic gunplay running down on the critics. This is artifacts, QB, the most realest. Foul Mahdi for all my militant gorillas. Foul Mahdi for all my militant gorillas.
Royal emblem on the breastplate, chest move, checkmate. We set place, invest jewels, make sure the wolves ate. Rap pugilist, Apollo Creed, deep Socrates, street scholars that speak prophecies. Peace to the gods, traveling harmony, food for thought, marvelous bars, give them that guard degree. Rhyme syndicate, documented, the G-code, divine penmanship, designed with that militant ethos.
I wake up early in the morning, stressed out with my gun on me, trying to find out what God had planned for me. Should I be a rapper or a gun clapper? Man, I'm stuck in the streets, I ain't no damn actor. And I can put the crack back like a chiropractor. And if the streets was a race, I'd double pass her. Cause what I got to gain, you got to lose, nigga. It's so different, bitches cooking up my work, call it the soup kitchen. Cartier's on with the clear vision. Your chain look nice, but the ice missing. When you got a good lawyer, you escape prison. Cause I'm trying to eat a turkey like Thanksgiving.
Royal emblem on the breastplate, chest move, checkmate. We set place, invest jewels, make sure the wolves ate. Rap pugilist, Apollo Creed, deep Socrates, street scholars that speak prophecies. Peace to the gods, traveling harmony, food for thought, marvelous bars, give them that guard degree. Rhyme syndicate, documented, the G-code, divine penmanship, designed with that militant ethos.
DJ Flatline. tearing shit up. Let's do it. My turn. Yo, until I get the world in the palm of my hands, I keep my mind on my grind and my nine in the palm of my hands. Until I shine, bottom line, shit it hit the fan. By time they kill me, I'ma die, unforgotten man. I spit ferocious, cause niggas like me is hopeless. Bang them toasters, whenever danger approaches. I don't fuck with you roaches, I'm focused. Catch me grinning on wanted dead or alive posters. Looking handsome, holding hip-hop for ransom. I want it all and some. Recognize who I am, son, or face the consequences. Get I'm senseless. I hold mine, go the whole 9 yard distance. And then they suffocate to death, cause they won't take my name out their mouth long enough to take a deep breath. But that'll be the last mistake them bastards make. Under pressure, let's see how much they ask to take.
It's Wild Bunch.
Who wanted to come get it?
Milk crates.
We don't talk it, homie, we live it.
So what's your life like?
Sucker free, chasing the mill.
You coming to get it, right?
It's Wild
Bunch.
Who wanted to come get it?
Milk crates.
We don't talk it, homie, we live it.
So what's your life like?
Sucker free, chasing the mill.
You coming to get it, right?
Yo, I'm sick with the words, keep my dick in them birds. Got them sucking me off like they sipping on scissor. When I'm done fucking, they can kick to the kidder. Bitch, get on my nerves and bitch, get what you deserve. I stay drunk driving, but the whip don't swerve. I stay running through money, but the kid don't splurge. I stay low, and every now and then I get the urge to be like, fuck peace and let the beast emerge. I represent the East, you heard? Rough and rugged, my nigga stug it. You can love it, if not, the fuck it, nigga, you lose. When I cruise through in the bucket, eight niggas deep that hate to see niggas eat. My dogs is hungry from laying low in the trenches, ready to mash out the first nigga that flinches. But that'll be the last mistake the bastards make. Under pressure, let's see how much they ask to take.
It's Wild Bunch.
Who wanted to come get it?
Milk crates.
We don't talk it, homie, we live it.
So what's your life like?
Sucker free, chasing the mill.
You coming to get it, right?
The rest of my life.
It's Wild Bunch.
Who wanted to come get it?
Milk crates.
We don't talk it, homie, we live it.
So what's your life like?
Sucker free, chasing the mill.
You coming to get it, right?
Yo, if rappers don't understand it's real, they got one foot in the grave, the other foot on a banana pill. Cause as far as this rap shit, I'm the man of steel. Strong arming niggas, that's what's up, that's the deal. Don't give a fuck how you feel, I'm always looking for fresh meat. But you don't wanna be my next meal, that wouldn't be nice at all. I ain't the type at all to back down, homie, we gon' brawl. Through the man dance to the last man fall. Addressing all drama, I'm talking to all of y'all. You could call me when you need me, but don't get smacked up, trying to act up, talking all greasy. Do it easy, easy does it, but don't find out the hard way. Thinking shit sweet when it wasn't, cause that'd be the last mistake you bastards make. Under pressure, let's see how much your ass can take.
It's Wild Bunch.
Who wanted to come get it?
Milk crates.
We don't talk it, homie, we live it.
What's your life like?
Sucker free, chasing the mill.
You coming to get it, right? It's Wild Bunch.
Who wanted to come get it?
Milk crates.
We don't talk it, homie, we live it.
So what's your life like?
Sucker free, chasing the mill.
You coming to get it, right?
The rest of my life, life.
Slap the devilish out of his soul if we got venison. Beef for any type of meat, honestly, really light to me. Never gave a fuck about the spotlight, they just put the light to me. Mussolini, groupies running loose with the bikini. Houdini, cold figure, my followers, they do believe me. Electronic money, I do move quietly, and I do keep track of receipts in case they try to lie to me. You wave riding, jumping on a bandwagon, late ass, a fake bastard. Beta ass with a fake laugh, my blessings like a needle in a haystack. Fear so quality, they catch a heart attack soon as they see the quote. I'm 3-0 shooting free throws from the 3-point line. Swish. Who you think profiting when the price of the coin rise? Connect the dots, bitch, your brain too slow. Watch me rain from the top forever like H2O. It's Poe.
Move in and move out, running over comping. Bang, bang, gang, gang, get your shit stomping. Hot temper, hot slugs, never back down. We just preparing for the crackdown, crackdown. I ain't trying to get signed, I move independently. Aiming at your church. torches, shooting the Holy Trinity. Rusty's the remedy, I feed it to the sick. Rock them for a brick, then I pop them with the stick. Downtown swinging it, uptown clobbering. Book deal, about to write a Bucktown novelin. Autographed copies getting shipped to your address. It's a spirit lifter when you feeling down and mad stress. I be on my J.O., B till my time's out. Living in the studio, writing, pushing these rhymes out. Lines about crime and grind, I'm trying to get it. As soon as the beat drops in, they be like, hit it. Bang, bang, bullet holes in the bass line. Throw the gat in your grill, that real FaceTime. So when you suckers see me, get the fuck up on my way. Black, 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 have a nice day. Move in and move out, running over Compton. Bang, bang, gang, gang, get your shit stomping. Hot temper, hot slugs, never back down. We just preparing for the crackdown, crackdown.
Crackdown, I wanna be thugs, adapt the gas sound. Crack it down, then crack it.
I ride in the mail, through town, hard in the bear. Long hair covers my stare, they all stare. They see that armor's golden, plus the sword that I'm holding, holding. I ride in the mail, through town, hard in the bear. Long hair covers my stare, they all stare.
Yeah, what up?
They see that armor's golden, plus yeah. The sword that I'm holding.
Yo,
holding.
Yeah. Horses hung, perched on the back of one. Approaching the guild, they all stand still. One put his hand on his weapon. I dismount and behead him in milliseconds. The way I left him, it got the town shook. He was king, how his crown look. I pick it up with the tip of my sword. Step on his face, crushing his jaw. Open the doors, yeah. You hear the bard singing. I grab ale and I start drinking. The locals whispered, there he is. Are you sure? Yeah, I thought he was a myth.
I fly in the air, through town, dawn in the bear. Long hair covers my stare, they all stare. They see the sword that I'm holding. Plus the dragon is golden, golden. I fly in the air, through town, dawn in the bear. Long hair covers my stare, they all stare. They see the sword that I'm holding. Plus the dragon is golden, golden.
Yeah. Dragonborn, a dragon lands on my lawn. I mount him and take off in the wind. I'm buckled in by a strap on his chin. And in the back of his limbs is where my feet go. Here we go. Ridiculous speeds, leaves, we weave through trees. Land and search for the sword of tongues. And when it swung, you could hear the blade hum. Made from various metals enchanted by a blacksmith, she hypnotizes with romantic eyes. So when you see, I better stare at the floor. Or fall in love with him for sure.
I ride in the mail, through town, dawn in the bear. Long hair covers my stare, they all stare. They see that armor's golden. Plus the sword that I'm holding, holding. I ride in the mail, through town, dawn in the bear. Long hair covers my stare, they all stare. They see that armor's golden. Plus the sword that I'm holding, holding.
Yeah. The front of the layers protected by a stone golem. And large chains look sewn to the columns. And in the tomb is the sword that I'm looking for. It's war, I let out a loud roar. And charged the giant as he gets in his war stance. He tossed the lance, I dodged it and hit the sand. From left to right I advance, get closer. A vault somersault land on his shoulder. Yeah, start to swing at his vertebrae. He drops to his knees, I chop in it deep. The sound of pain he releases. The last blow caused him to fall into pieces.
I ride in the mail, through town, dawn in the bear. Long hair covers my stare, they all stare. They see that armor's golden. Plus the sword that I'm holding, holding. I ride in the mail, through town, dawn in the bear. Long hair covers my stare, they all stare. They see that armor's golden. Plus the sword that I'm holding, holding.
I pledge allegiance to the groove of Count Kool Aut and to the rhythm rap rockers Now everybody rock your body out.
I am Kula.
I got my C for the crazy way I kill my time. I got my O from the girl.
Oh, gee, he's fine.
You in for the peace I bring to the world. I took a T from the Dune Duke Duke of Earl. Got my C from the clouds high up above. My double O from the seven way we make our love. I got my L from the hell I love to raise. I got the name Kula from hot summer days. And I can rule, rule, rock, shock and amaze. You do the rhythm rap, rock it up. It's on, it's nice, it's on the mic, and it makes you wanna dance and clap. It's the rhythm of sound that I'm putting down, and it's called the MC Rap. You see, once upon a time, a long time ago, in a place called Rhythmvania, people used to rock and people used to roll to the sound of the disco mania. But the single beat without a special treat made the people wanna leave the floor. And now they all wanna clap while the MC raps, cause it makes you come back for more. Cause it makes you feel good, it makes you feel great. Like earning overtime for your coffee break. Like a calm man ruling the mind of a fool. Like a real hot day in the real cool pool. I can hit you with highs, I can hit you with lows. So call a band, request it on your radio. It's the new sensation, just a speak from the nation. That goes without a doubt. The closest people to me call me CC, but my name is Count Kula. You see, I'm using this rhythm at that beat. I wanna lay down on the bit of my biography. And if you listen very close, you'll learn about the devastating life of Count Kula. Cause I get down, I get down, I get down all the way. I rock to the rhythm of the double R rock, and this is what I say. I be. I was rapping to the rhythm since the age of 3. And at the age of 6, I learned how to mix on the turntables and with the sweet chicks. Then when I reached the age of a cool 16, I went to the college on the rhythm scene. And though I had math, gym, and history, I majored in rap technology. And on the day I received my degree, I got me a gig as a guest MC. I said the bump is dead, the freak played out. So rock to the rhythm of the double R rock. Or rocking to the rhythm of the double R rock. I was approached by the man who's called Quick Clock. He said, Count Kula, how you feeling, my man? I said, aren't you the guy from the rubber band stand? He said, yes, but I'm not here to talk about me. I was searching for new talent in the world of MCs. That's when I heard of you. The people say you're cool, and if you're nice as ice, I'll put you on the tube. So I reached for the mic and my rhythm rap book, but I had to bat my eyes and take a second look. While I was cooling out, mixing with the crowd, somebody stole my mic and book and cut on out. I was hurt real bad way down inside, cause my mic was my morals and my book was my pride. And on top of that, I only had one dime, but I didn't have the number of super rhymes. And when I saw I couldn't solve the case alone, I called on the man, Barnaby Bones. When he arrived at the disco later on, he had a three-piece suit and sneakers on. He said, hello, Mr. CCO, I'm Barnaby Bones. My secretary said that you rang my phone. So I took my Geritol and jogged to the scene, cause jogging helps me keep my bony body lean. But some people think I can't solve a case, cause I got a fat head and a skinny waist. They think I'm out of shape, cause my hair is gray. But that's just a wicked way to hide my 38 from a street fist fight to a big bang job. There is no kind of case that I can't solve, cause I'm a real cool guy, I'm a private eye. I'm the master of the who, what, where, and why. And like a hunting dog, I sniff out the crook. The sucker MC will throw your mic in your book. But for now, I'm gonna get on the floor to see if any stupid pigeons hurt us all. But don't you fret, cause I'll get back to you. But right now, I see a freak I wanna get next to. The freak that he saw was a real dream girl. She had big brown eyes and pretty curls. She had a deathly shape to kinda blow your mind. Barnaby had the break with his coolest line. He said, hey, Smith, my name is Barnaby Bones. I was here trying to find a microphone. But that's just when I laid eyes on you. I said, that's the kind of girl I wanna get next to. You make my heart go pitter patter, you strain my brain. Now tell me, sweet thing, what is your name? She said, I'm the pretty girl who lost the freaks. I go by the name of Chill Bo Peep. And I hear Barnaby that you a real cool guy, the master of the who, what, where, and why. But I'm not here to do the bumper freak. So listen, Mr. Bones, get away from me. Barnaby was jumped, cause she sent him away. So he lifted his wig and pulled out his 38. He said, listen, Chill Bo, nobody chumps with me. Now get your curls on the floor and do the bumper freak. She said, the bump is dead, the freak played out. So now we're getting down with the double R rock. So they got on the floor and did the rhythm rap rock. He said, I rock to the beat till it makes you drop. So she'll rock them down, then she rocked them up, then she hit him in the face with a buttercup. He said, wee doggy, 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 doggy Bobby Bones put his gun away, wiped his sweat from his brow and got back on the case. Chill walked away from him and headed towards me. I tried to play it off like I didn't hear or see. She said, I'm the pretty girl who lost the freaks. I go by the name of Jill Bo Peep. I'm the Ghoulam Z, count cool out. I was hoping that you'd help me with my problem out. Don't let your mind be poisoned by the act of a crook. The sucker MC who stole your mic and your book. And if you listen very close, I will advise you on what steps to take to break your problem through. Cause I'm Jill Bo Peep, the girl who lost the freaks. You know I didn't know where to find them, so I left it alone and it came on home with the rhythm you're rocking behind them. If you can dig my man, then execute your plan. Show the people who you really are. You don't need a mic or a rhythm rap book, cause if you cool, your name will really go far. I said that when I was young, I wanted to be a cool kind of fella with a PhD. But now that I'm older, I must say that I'm operating every day. The things I do, the things I say, like smiling when I'm breaking, loving who I'm being, counting what I'm making, loving what I'm seeing. And what I say?
Smiling when you're breaking, loving who you're being, counting what you're making, loving what you're seeing.
You know, when I was young, I wanted to be a cool DJ and a bad MC. But now that I'm older, I must say that I'm a cool MC and a bad DJ. Mixing in the night, cooling out through the day. Cause when I hear the percussion, my blood start rushing, my knees start knocking, then my body start rocking, my head start swaying to the sound that's playing. Then the women start listening to what I'm saying. Quick Clock yelled out, yeah, that's it. You be the biggest thing since the twist. You bring fury to the fellas and grief to the girls. You be rhythm rap rocking all around the world. So he took my hand, let me own it too. He said, hey, see, see, this is more about you. You know, when I hear the sounds of a phony mix, my rhymes get nauseous and my rap gets sick. I fly on home and pick up the phone. I drop on a dime, I call Super Rhyme, cause he stops all kinds of MC crimes. But when I hear the sounds of a serious mix, my rhymes get ready to rock a bit. Then my rap gets ready to rock the bass.
Bass, 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 bass.
When I say what you say, double R rock. Then when I say who, you say count cool out.
The what?
Double R rock.
Who?
Count cool out.
One day while listening to the radio, I heard a sucker DJ in stereo. He was trying to throw down with the phony mix. He made my rhymes get nauseous and my rap get sick. I flew on home and picked up the phone. I dropped in a dime, I called Super Rhyme. But he was out working on another crime. I was hurt, let down, I was shocked and amazed. The Lois line said he wouldn't be back for 3 days. I said, no, Lois line, oh, this can't be. I gotta get tonight as a guest MC. It's only 10 o'clock and now it's 2. She said, hey, Count Cool, tell you what you do. Let your finger do the walk and let your mouth do the talk. And do the double R rock on down to the dot. So I ran my finger through the telephone book, careful of the cracks and cautious of the crooks. And with my index finger in the nick of time, I came across the name of Rocket Happens Die. So I threw on my shades and my cape and my hat. I had to rush to the place where the dot was at. I had a gig the night as a guest MC. Only 10 o'clock and it was almost 3. When I arrived at the place where the dock was at, it was surrounded by a moat and a flock of bats. Not the kind of place that I'd expected to see. I wondered what kind of dock this was gonna be. And all of a sudden, much to my surprise, I was shocked by the dock who stood before my eyes. He was dressed in red, had a devilish look. He had a long, dirty beard and a little black book. He looked in my shades, then he opened his book. Then he came a bit close and took a second look. He said, aren't you the MC? Con Kulaw, the man who makes the woman twist, wounds, swivel, and shout. Yes, Rappenstein, that's who I be. Count Kulaw, the cool, cool MC. But this one thought you just brought to my mind. How in the hell do you know me so well, Rappenstein? When cold snowy daytime about high noon, I wasn't part in rhythm venues, delivery room. About 12 or 3, a child bit a pear with long eyelashes and curly hair. So I raised my hand to spank you on your tail, cause my job wasn't done until I heard you wail. But when I raised my hand, you said no need for that, cause your count cool out, you came equipped with rap. Yes, Rappenstein, I remember now. You were the doc on the scene when I first hit town. You helped me out way back then, but let me tell you now about the trouble I'm in. I was cruising round in my Cape DeVille, trying to catch it with my main man, Roy Seville. That's when I made my mistake. I turned on the radio. I heard a sucker DJ in the stereo. He was trying to throw down with the phony mix. He made my rhymes get nauseous and my rap get sick. And to add to that, I got a gig to do. He said, hey, Con Cool, tell you what you do. Open up your rhyme and stick out your rap so I can get to the spot where the problem's at. Now first you rap real slow, then you rap real fast, and you take a milligram of superb nerve grass. So I took my medication with no hesitation, slip a Dr. Bill, party for my destination. I rushed through the jam, I burst through the door, but not a soul in the house was up on the floor. Cause the MC on the mic didn't know where to start, so I sang the Pledge of Allegiance to the double R rock. I pledge allegiance to the groove of cool, calm, cool out, and to the rhythm rock. Rock us now, everybody, rock your body out. All the people in the house jumped up and did their thing the minute that they heard my golden voice ring. Cause my rap has the rhythm to make you rock, but if you can't double R, you can't cool out. You see, I got more rap than Susie Chaffee got chop, and I got more rhyme than Reynolds got rap. I got more gear than a chump has fear. I got more cool than a panel's air. I got more class than a park got grass, and I got more style than a bank got cash. Yes, I'm count cool out, I rap with finesse, but let me see if you can pass my rhythm test. So when I sing love, you say burning desire. When I sing fire, say no, it's hot. Love,
burning desire,
fire,
no, it's hot.
I say love,
burning desire,
I'm on fire,
no, it's hot.
You know most MCs, they come on strong, but then they run out of breath
and the beat goes on.
Most MCs proclaim they're tough, but let me take you, baby dog, count cool is rough. I said I'm rough enough to call you bluff, blow your mind and rock your stuff. Cause I'll strain your brain with my hypnotic game, but don't you call me next week cause I forget your name. I said I'll make you feel good, I'll make you feel great, like earning overtime for your coffee break. And once you fellas hear my rap, you wanna copy it. Once you women see my face, you wanna kiss my lips. And once you've all heard my jam, love my style and my taste, like Tony Tiger feeling good, you're gonna yell it's great. Cause I'm what make the frosty flake, and I'm what make the milkshake. I'm what make the earthquake. Do the rhythm rap, rock to your body ache. So play me in your car and play me in your home, call up and request me on the radio. It's the new sensation, just a sweep in the nation, that goes without a doubt. The closest people to me call me CC, but my name is Count Kulau.